This is Sunday morning, 7:26. I put 19. It's not 19, it's 20. It's a teaching. The name of it is Destroying the Illusion. This morning while I was getting ready, the Lord said some things to me. I didn't write them down, so I'll try to recall. The Lord says, you can always know when you're being confronted by the enemy. Because everything he does is rooted in fear. So if something comes against you and fear arises, you know who it is. You know what master it is. Because that type of master is always going to find you wanting, needing. You can go read Matthew 6 where it talks about the two masters. One believes God, is secure in God, has peace. The other one is always questioning, making you question, what am I going, you know, why Lord, why, when Lord, when, what am I having to drink, what am I going to have to eat, what am I going to have to wear, what am I going to do about this, what am I going to do about that, oh, what about this Lord, what about that Lord. It's not wrong to ask the Lord about things if you're needing wisdom on a certain matter. He says, if we ask, he'll give it to us and give it to us liberally. But this constant, what about this? What about that? Oh, Lord, what about this? Because of something we've seen. What about that? What about that? What about this? What about that? Like I've said many times, I'll say it again. I've learned about this thing about the Lord. I usually don't really have to ask him anything. He usually tells me what he wants me to do. And if he's not saying anything about something, then probably it's not a problem. Because most of the prayer requests I get is the fear-based kind. Like when symptoms come against you, what comes? Fear. You go to the system, what comes? Fear. But like we had talked about last week about learning to walk by the inward witness. What is the inward witness? It brings peace. Peace. It's like an anchor of the soul. Anchor of the soul. There's not any room for fear. Once peace is there, there's no fear can get in to dislodge or get you off of that stance. So when you are confronted about things, that's where peace has to always make the call. And see, this is the illusion that Satan, destroying the illusion. This whole world we're in is an illusion. I was remembering, so many things go back to the old Star Trek series. There was one of the very first ones where Christopher Pike had been in a horrible crash. And he ended up on this planet, and there was a woman there that she had nearly died, and she was so mangled. But there was these melon-head aliens there that made them see themselves healthy and young again and enjoying life when really they were both very incapacitated. So that's kind of what I'm talking about here today, except reverse it. Satan has had the whole world under an illusion. What God made in the beginning, he said it was good. All right, here's what illusion means. The act of deceiving, or the action of deceiving. Deceived or misled. Perception of something objectively existing in such a way as to cause misinterpretation of its actual nature. It's like the Lord says, by his stripes you're healed. And here comes symptoms. The symptoms are the illusion. The reality is in Christ Jesus, I was healed. Okay. 1 Peter 2:24. But you're having symptoms. There's evidence in it in your body. That means something's visible or something tangible that says to you that what God's word says about the situation is not true. Okay. Another example, Philippians 4:19. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you don't understand. It's negative in my checkbook. There's the illusion. The reality is, he's already provided. When he made the man in the garden, it talks about all the wealth of the garden. He didn't ask the man to toil in the garden. He wanted the man to keep the garden in order. He tended it. He didn't toil to make a living in the garden. Mark 11:22-24, Jesus told us to speak to the natural situation and change it. We're operating in the kingdom of God. The new birth gave us rights to partake of the kingdom of God, but we must destroy the devil's illusion. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So Satan has had a big scam in on us. It's not just the deep state. They're just an instrument or a puppet in his hands. But from the very beginning, since the fall, when Eve listened to the devil, because even in the old covenant, they bypassed and walked by faith, some of them, a handful. They were under the curse, but we're redeemed from the curse. So even them, they could bypass the curse and walk by faith. Abraham's a prime example. That baby to a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man. The illusion was being barren and childless. But they believed God. See, they bypassed the illusion by believing God. Look at Romans 4. Tells you so. Pretty well, you could say just about anything that the devil brings, you could say, that's not real. That's an illusion. Verse 16 says, 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because of the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that if might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Actually, they are. They're not were, they are. The illusion says, no, they're not. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for you, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the authority to override the illusion. Because we don't walk by feelings. We don't walk by the illusion, the appearance of things. We walk by what the Word of God says, that it's already done. Jesus didn't just pay for spiritual, he paid for all of it. Mental, your soul, those crown of thorns on his head. The stripes for your physical. Physical! You're not just complete in your spirit. You're complete spirit, soul, and body. Come on. Okay. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. 1 John 3. Verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did he? Yeah, he did. So that means if he destroyed it, what are we messing with it? All right, Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So if he triumphed over it, why are we trying to fight it? We're not fighting the devil today. We're fighting the good fight of faith, which denies the illusion and accepts what we really have in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I tell you what, there's no sickness, disease, or lack, or anything like that up there. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead and your life is here with Christ and God. You're not going to be able to dispel the illusion if that's all you're focused on. You're going to have to focus on what's above, where Christ is seated, and you're seated with him. Is there any of that in heaven? That mentality? Heavenly access, it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's in us. We don't have to go to heaven to get access to the kingdom of God. So what caused man's fall? Deception. Genesis 3:13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Beguiled there means to lead astray, to delude, to morally seduce. All right. With that, let's look to Luke 17. Verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's always been here. What God made is still intact. Whether it is perceived or not, Satan has obscured the view. He's like those aliens making an illusion of what that wasn't real. Even though it was good for them, it was not real. That's what you call that false evidence that appears real, but it's false. He's the father of liars. Jesus said he can't tell the truth. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him to tell. And that's why you can always, it's always a good gauge when fear's coming against you, you know who it is. God doesn't bring fear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. It's not of him. So you can immediately know who you're dealing with. I mean, if people would just alone be able to recognize that spirit. I had someone recently tell me they have a relative that just really has a lot of fear. And I said, you have to speak to that fear. You've got to deal with that fear. You can't let the fear rule you, which that's what's happening. The fear is ruling. And the fear, what the fear does is it brings bondage. But perfect love. See, when we realize what all God's done for us and how great it is and how complete and whole it is, perfect love casts out fear. People are like, well, no, the opposite of faith is fear. No, it isn't. It's love. Fear and love. I mean, just look around you. These people doing all this nasty stuff, they're rooted and grounded in fear. That's why it's going to take the love of God, that word last week or the week before about when God's glory begins to show up and God's church stands up and begins to do the works of Jesus and they begin to see the power of God, they're going to fall on their knees and say, enough of this black power, white power, whoever, whatever. This is real. This is the real God. This is the power. I want this power. And they won't no longer be kneeling for the flag. They'll be kneeling in front of the Lord. Recognize Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what needs to happen, see? That's what God's been working on the church to get us to that place where the power of God, He's got people that know they're not anything in themselves, so His power can flow through. That's what we've been trained for. Because you know what? I guarantee you, somebody gets healed, especially of something that's life debilitating, and there's no cure for, no help for, or somebody gets raised from the dead. Instantly, the way things go viral all over the world, you couldn't contain the Colosseums to put all the people in that would come to be prayed for and to receive the Lord. He's not looking for a commercialized, entertainment-based country club church. He's done with that. And nothing against anybody. I'm not against anybody. He's looking for His true followers like the disciples that they just went where they were told to go and God's power showed up. They didn't have to have some big glorious $30 million building or whatever to do whatever. Now, if God says build something like that, then you better build something like that. But the point is, the church has never been, should have never been, institutionalized. Like it's a corporation. That's what the world made it, a corporation. When it is a moving, living entity that was supposed to fill the earth. That's what's wrong with our government. I was reading about the government. When the government first, it was very small. And it was made to be people that had regular jobs that only met a couple times a year to go over policies and maybe make some bills and do some things like that. But they were to go back and be among the people and be like the people. Now you've got career politicians, which was never meant to be, and they became corrupt. So they never meant it to be, and it got to be so big that they were no longer for the people, but they were above the people. And that's what we see today. We're better than you. Mm-hmm. And they exploit the people. Well, it's the same thing in the church. Politics has gotten into the church, and it's all about my church is better than your church because we've got bigger seats, more seats. It's a competition. We get back to I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this one, I'm of that one. We've forgotten who we're about. And so God's changing that. He's bringing us back to the basics in our country, in our churches, in His church, to where we've come back to our first love. We only care about what the Lord wants. We want to do His bidding. We don't care about fancy buildings. We don't care about fancy anything else. Now, if he gives us that, great, but it's not about that. It's about doing exactly what he wants us to do. And in this conversation, I hope that I help this person to realize that it's not about all of that. It's not about your credentials, what Bible school you went to or what Bible school you didn't go to. No. God trains his own. Just look at the Bible, the ones that stand out. The patriarchs and matriarchs of faith, the ones that stand out are the ones that were God-trained. Not religiously trained. They were usually forsaken and forgotten and thought to be nothing. But God saw them as lights in the bright sky. And he still looks at his the same way today. It's not about this illusion of grandeur. I know you got to reach the youth, but I'm telling you what. They can turn on any show and see hip-hopping all over the stage. But to see the power of God in manifestation, see somebody's arm grow out, see somebody raised from the dead, see something they know is impossible happen before their very eyes, you get them youth on board just like that. In fact, they'll be the ones that'll be the fieriest. These youth that they have, what do you call it, MK altered or whatever else to do the devil's bidding. You get them renewed and they start seeing, having a relationship with God, they'll be on fire and they'll be like liquid fire all over this nation. Like I told you, there's a young girl on WeGo who's been posting on there that's just been red pilled. She's got that green hair and all that look, you know. And she's just talking about how, I guess, Christians and patriots have responded to her, and she began to see the truth, and they started loving on her, and now she has totally flipped, and now she's on social media proclaiming to those that were like her, telling them, wake up, get out of it. Mm-hmm. They've lied to you, everything. They've lied to you. Satan's illusion. Okay. It has always been here. What God made is still intact, whether it is perceived or not. Satan has obscured the view. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't come to the truth, that they won't come to the truth. That's the reason. Romans 8:2 is the truth. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the fact, Jack. That's the facts. It's time to dispel the delusion. It's true. Acts 28, when Paul, after the shipwreck, after he swam to shore, after he was so tired, he probably felt like he just wanted to sleep for a couple of days. He just wanted to warm up. He was soaking wet, and the snake come out of the heat onto his hand, and he just shook it off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. You better believe he knew Romans 8:2 meant what it said. All right, Jesus walked this way. We're going to look a little bit at some of the things Jesus did. This is Matthew 14. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is going to become so big that Satan's illusion is just going to be swallowed up. Just like Pharaoh's serpents were swallowed up, Moses laid his rod down, God's rod swallowed up the evil. And it was double. It looks really nasty here right now, but I'm telling you what, the kingdom of God's going to eat it up. Mark God's word. 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them and said, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. So what was real? The ability to walk on water? Yeah. Everybody else, they saw the winds and the waves. Jesus, he walked right over the top of it. Jesus looked past all of Satan's fake news and operated the kingdom way. We can do it too. When John came, he had a thing that he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, which means it's at your disposal. He said, change your mind. Mm-hmm. Repent. Repent doesn't mean you sorry, low-life sinner, get on the ground and grovel and bawl and squall. That's not repentance. Repentance is changing your mind about something. Think differently. To partake of in God's kingdom, you're going to have to think differently than Satan's illusion, the way he has conditioned us to think our whole life through every system in the world. God of this world. All right, Matthew 4:17. I think it's probably maybe the same. Well, this is just verse 17 says, And from the time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have to understand, they were in a place kind of like we are today, under heavy taxation. The Romans were very cruel. Horrible form of execution. Oppressing God's people. They sit in a similar place. And Jesus was trying to show them. They were looking for a ruler to come and beat up all the Romans, kill them all off, and have this big kingdom, you know, here. That's not what he brought. He brought heaven to earth. I like Petra's song. He brought heaven to earth. Yeah. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. This is the way. That's why with the rapture theory, I just get more infuriated about it. Because everything about the rapture theory is so anti-kingdom of God. It's always been about men inheriting the earth and ruling the earth, taking dominion over it. Why would he zip us all out of here? And just let the devil have it. Mm-hmm. It does not even make sense. Not just naturally speaking. But I can see where, by believing that, you get comfortable and you fall asleep. And then they can come in and do anything for you, to you. And they have. I pray every day, Lord, wake people up. Oh, Lord, wake people up. Help us to wake people up. That's the single most beneficial thing, besides getting someone born again, of course, and filled with the Spirit, is waking people up to the truth, giving them if it's just a dropper full, or just one drop, to get people awakened to the truth, to quit buying the lie. Okay, Mark 1:15. I think it's the same scripture. It is. and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And verse 17, it says it all. And Jesus said unto them, come at ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. It's not to build institutions. I'm of the Baptists, I'm of the Presbyterians, I'm of the Lutherans, I'm of the Catholics, I'm of the whatever else. No, it was to make you a fisher of men. In other words, like a filling station. You're here to get filled up and you go out and you splash that over on somebody else. That's where we missed it. We've tried to get the world to come into the church instead of them going into the world. He didn't say that. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All right, it's at your disposal. It was not something that was coming. It was something that was already here. They just had to have someone remind them. They were suppressed by Satan and his minions. See, they were under the illusion. The oppression was horrible when Jesus came. It was terrible. Much like our world today. But today, it's not just in Jerusalem. It's all over the world. That's what tells me that we're in this time, because never, ever in the history of the world, I guess World War II, a lot of people thought Hitler was the Antichrist, and I can see why. But not every nation of the world was affected. Today, every nation of the world is affected by this. Every nation pretty well shut down because of the COVID. It's really been something else that they were able to pull off something like this. All right, Luke 10, verse 9. This is what Jesus told his disciples. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. He didn't say, give them some money and send them to the doctor. He said, heal them. That's the kingdom way. Heal them. Verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And two, in this day and hour, a lot of people, if you pray for them and they don't get what they want, they blame the preacher or the person that prayed for them. We should not fear that, because it's not us. It's the power of God. We're just by faith doing what he told us to do. Mark 16. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You'll cast out demons. Speak with new tongues. Drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. They were just acting out faith. They were just acting out what the kingdom of God says already is. There was no inherent power in them to do so. It's God that's done it. And I'll bring it up again. About the first experience I had like that, when I reached out my hand to pray for that man that day, something was beside me and whooshed by me and nearly knocked me down. It didn't knock him down, but it nearly did. That's why when people are slain in the spirit, the minister, you know, is standing up there. But it's the power of God that the people go over. It's not the minister. It's not the vessel. It's what's in the vessel. The power of God. But I'm telling you what, I thought that book like a mighty wind. I thought a mighty wind just pushed past me. And it was forceful, man. I just thought, wow. You see all these Avenger movies and their big laser blast. That's what it was like. It was like, wow. And that man had no doubt God touched him, because I don't think I even touched him. I just reached out my hand and boom, that thing come by and I'm going, dear Lord in heaven. Yeah, it was the Holy Ghost. So he honors when we step out in faith and do what the scriptures say do. All right, Matthew 10. Verse 7 and 8. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Free you have received, free to give. And provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his hire. In other words, he wants to supply. That's why I get off. I guess really it just steams me, and I can't blame the people because this is the way they've been taught. Getting on TV and just begging for money to where more of your program is on begging for money than it is for actually bringing anything worth helping anybody on there. We got to raise money, you know, have these garage sales because poor old God, you know, he's pretty old and just don't provide like he used to. As people change their minds, they also begin to walk like Jesus walked. This is kingdom mentality. This isn't this churchy mentality, which to me it's religion. Religion, organized religion. We are commanded to do so. Act like he did. He said we do greater things than he did. Well, because there's so many more of us. He was one man. Okay, 1 Peter 2. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. His own self bear our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes ye were healed. So we're to follow his example. We're to act like he did. Time to get people to repent, to think differently, to reconsider, to red pill people. That's why we don't need to go out in public and get in a fight with people over a mask or something. That's why I said, Lord, give us witty things to say that just, they can't refute, they can't, you know, they can't say anything about it. It just makes them stop and reflect. Yesterday, it was LT on Anduino, and he's a Christian. He said his sister went into, I believe it was a Walmart or a Target. And this lady come up to her with two children and asked her why she did not have on a mask. And at first, she didn't know who the lady was talking to, and the lady said, you heard me. And she said, before she could say anything, this big black man with two gold teeth stepped up and stepped in between the two of them. And he looked at that woman with the two kids and said, you look like one of those kinds that is probably, you know, believes in abortion. And he said, my body, my choice. Her body. Her choice. And he just walked on and he looked at her and he says, Trump 2020.
Praise God.
I mean, what can you say to that? I said, we need those witty, we need something. If we're going to say something, we need to say something that's going to stop them in their tracks and make them reflect and think about, look at the dumb stuff you're doing. Mm-hmm. What amazes me, there's so many lunatics out there. They're just absolutely crazy lunatic. And they people that you thought were pretty decent are selling out their own brothers and sisters. Anyway, I thought that is so awesome. And of course, LT was rejoicing over that. He said, Lord was taking care of his little sister. But I'm thinking a big old six-something black guy can get away with stuff that maybe I can't. Because one thing about them, when they're sold out, they're not afraid. They've been intimidated their whole life, but they're not afraid. They'll get right in your face. And nobody's going to try to take them down. Yeah, I just thought that was so cool. All right, so we need to red pill. We need to let the Lord lead us. Let the Lord give us words to say. Because when you, I was thinking about, Lord, with the mask thing and everything, I don't want to do anything that's going to ruin my witness, especially as a minister. I said the most crucial thing is not really if I wear a mask or I don't wear a mask. The most crucial thing is this person being born again and their life changed. And once you make an impression, it's like you can't undo it. So we need to hear. We need to not let what's going on around us get our emotions involved and get on somebody's bandwagon. We need to stay out of it. Okay. All right. Even the Old Testament believers could enter into this by faith. And I read you Romans 4. Galatians 3:13 talks about we are redeemed from the curse of the law and we are heirs according to promise, just like Abraham was able to partake by faith of the kingdom of God in his own life. He wasn't born again yet. He believed in God, but they had a different covenant. But he embraced that covenant by faith because God never wanted the people talk about, the old covenant. God never wanted that. He was a faith God in the beginning. He was a faith God all the way through. But these hard-necked, uncircumcised Israelites, they wouldn't have anything else. So God gave them what they wanted. But God's never been about that. He's been a faith God all along. And that's what he wants. So the Old Testament believers could step over and partake of the same thing. 90-year-old woman and 100-year-old man had a baby. Who knew? All right, the kingdom of God takes the limits off. Nothing is impossible with God, and nothing is impossible to him who believes it. What we see is not reality, but only what we believe. So I had you sing that song today. The illusion that we've been under, this is not reality. This is not the truth. What God says in his word is. And we can walk out from under the illusion and destroy it in our own lives. God wants us to. Okay, turn to James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. What about Rahab? Rahab was the grandmother of King David. She's in the lineage of Jesus. She was a harlot. But she stepped out of the natural and walked by faith. And God accounted it to her for righteousness. So we need to be careful in these days whenever we come across people that have got things that we don't think are right. God can count it unto them for righteousness, not their sin, but because they believed God. And he can work on that other thing later. There's a lot of gays that are really big behind Trump and doing some great things in this nation. There's several of them, actually. So we need to be careful. That's not our business. It's really God's business. Unless the Lord gives us something to minister to them to help them, and it'll be something to help them out of it, like Jesus with the woman at the well. He knew her condition. He even told her condition. But he didn't condemn her, just like the woman caught in adultery. He didn't condemn her, but he said, come out of that. Follow me. See, there's got to be an alternative. There's got to be something greater. And that's the power of God in you. Something greater than what they have succumbed to. They're just a product of the world system and Satan's illusion. Satan has convinced them that they're that way, when the truth is they're not. Okay. The curse is the illusion. If we believe it, it becomes a reality. The actual fact is, it can't hurt you unless you believe it can. Now, here we come back to going to the doctor. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, when symptoms come, fear comes, and then they go to the doctor, and the doctor confirms it, and they receive it, and they get it. It's Satan's system. That's how he works. And it's the same way when you go to God about it. He says, well, by my stripes, you're already healed. Oh, okay. And you believe it. And you get what you believe. It's Satan's system, like it or not. But we've been conditioned to that. Some more than others. All right. Kingdom dwellers are redeemed. Now, I've read these scriptures many times, but I'll read them again. Matthew 15. I guess we'll read them as many times as we need to get our minds renewed to the facts. Matthew 15, 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So, being in the world system through propaganda, Mockingbird, we have heard things over and over and over and over again that have implanted in us. But Jesus said this, also, or verse 16, are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. In other words, it's his belief system. It's what he thinks, what's built up in his mind. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So where do you suppose they got all of this? The image of the beast. Tell a vision. Tell a vision. Okay, Mark 7, kind of the same set of scriptures. Propaganda. I didn't know anything about any of this the day the Lord spoke to me in that department store about the breast cancer campaign. He said it's propaganda. I'd never heard anything like that in my life. And I realized how profound that was. I've tried to speak it to a few people, and it just goes, whew. Mark 7, 14. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Are ye so, this is verse 18, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? See, we've been gauged all of our life from being raised up, going to school, that there's certain things you don't mess with because they're poison and they'll hurt you. But when the kingdom of God comes, guess what's going to happen? There'll be nothing that harms or hurts in all my holy mountain. Is that because God just zaps something and everything changed? No, it means that in the kingdom of God, all the unbelief is weeded out and God's word is ruling. A new narrative is coming forth. Yeah, you can go ahead and not be afraid of that snake. You can go ahead and not be afraid of that. because this is the truth. He never made anything that harmed or hurt in all his holy mountain. Who brought the illusion of harming and hurting? The thief. To steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. The only way it can harm you is by faith. In the negative or in the positive. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. That's those strongholds of the mind. You ever wonder why you cannot think of something for 35 years and all of a sudden you've got this song in your head that you heard 35 years ago? Said, Lord, oh, that we could retain your word like we hear those old stupid songs and stuff that half of those on pot wrote anyway. Really? Yeah. Or jingles on television? You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent? I mean, come on. I'm going, what? I hadn't thought of that in 50 years. And it's still in there. It's propaganda. They're conditioning you to buy their toothpaste. Mm-hmm. For from within, out of the heart of men, which is talking about the soul, proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within and defile the man. Words condition people to all of these things. Words do. Movies, watching movies that it's all about murder. Yeah. Nowadays, Children Network and Cartoon Networks and different things pushing homosexuality agenda on our children. See, we didn't have that kind of pressure as kids, but the kids today do. Tell me ain't the image of the beast. Coming out and saying SpongeBob is gay. Well, for the first part, SpongeBob's not real. He's just ink on a piece of paper. This is how it works. This is. We've got to destroy the illusion. All right, God already made it all and called it good, and Jesus walked in the good. That's what he did when he came. He never gave in to the illusion. He was tempted by Satan. Luke 4, he was tempted by Satan. He was tempted at other times. They wanted to make him king, a natural king on the earth, and he slipped out of the way. Anytime they tried to sway him and pull him in a direction, he got out of there. All right, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he came to preach the kingdom of God and to get people out from under the illusion of Satan. In the 1,000 years of peace, after Satan and his delusion is gone, we will automatically become real to us, and it'll come busting through. See, once all the yuck is gone and the smoke is cleared of all their stink and their stench, we're going to see the kingdom of God that it's always been here. And it's going to come bursting through. And it's not going to take us long to get on board with it. Okay, the illusion will be destroyed and men will be able to see clearly. You talk about that song, I Can See Clearly Now. The rain is gone. All obstacles in my way. Okay, we're going to get a little couple of pictures here. This is a couple of scriptures in Isaiah that talk about the millennial reign. Isaiah 65. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child should die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So we're going to see no longer these short, altered lifespans. You know, a baby at 100, think about it, having a baby. The reason women have so many babies is because they grow up so fast. But you'll have a baby, and that baby will still be a baby for 100 years. Verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Now think about that. No more nasty stench in the atmosphere that's blocking the blessings and blocking God's answers that's always been there. Before we can even get it out of our mouth, we'll have an answer. It'll be an open heaven. No more prince of the power of the air. No more obstructions in the way. No delays in answers. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. There's not going to be this devouring each other. Sounds like a wonderful place. Go back to chapter 11. And there's other places throughout Scripture. This is Isaiah 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There won't be any false narrative anymore. And what's real is finally present. What's real? Okay, the real deal. Get the picture. Until this time is manifested, many will never see it because they don't believe it. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Hebrews 4:19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. See, this is how God brought the children of Israel out. They didn't lack no silver or gold. There was not a weak or sick one among them. He fed them supernaturally for 40 years in the wilderness. It says their clothes didn't wear out. Something supernatural kicked in. Okay. God manifested his kingdom for this bunch for 40 years, and they still would not believe him. The choice is also yours. Remember, I was talking about the old Star Trek adventures, the one I read about, that one. It's time to destroy the illusion in your own life. It's time to accept what's real and what isn't. We no longer can believe Satan's lies. We have come to a place in our growth that God sees that we have matured to the place that we know the truth. And now we have to act in the truth that we know. One more scripture, Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right.